Praise God for music with rich lyrics that can remind us of our Savior. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Jesus gave instructions on the night that he was betrayed. He gave instructions to his disciples while he had bread and a cup of wine in his hand, and he instructed them to remember his death and proclaim his death by taking bread and wine until he returned. And we are at the point in our service where we are going to do just that. We are going to remember and proclaim Jesus's death on our behalf. 1 Samuel 3:13 and 14 reveals an amazing truth about God, and it reminds believers of something true about themselves in the gospel. This is what it tells us about God. God determines for whom his atonement applies or is effective. God determines for whom his atonement is effective. Look with me at 1 Samuel 3, starting at verse 13 as I read. "And I declare to him," him being Eli the priest, "that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." In this passage, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping, self-existent God of Israel, tells young Samuel in his first communication with God of a judgment that he is going to bring about on Eli's family because of Eli's sin. His sons were sexual idolaters, they were sexually immoral, and they were priests, and they were blaspheming God by the sin that they continually committed. And God here finds it just that because Eli's sinful parenting, because of his sinful parenting, his not restraining his son's sin, that the effectiveness of the Old Testament sacrifices for Israel would be restricted from his family line. They would not experience the benefits of the Old Testament sacrifice and the atonement that was made for the people. So God, in this passage, we see determines for whom his atonement is effective. We, just like Eli's sons and Eli's family, we need an effective atonement. We need an atonement that will remove God's wrath from us and restore us into a right relationship with him. All of us here are sinners, and that is what we need more than anything, is an effective atonement provided by God. But the question is, if God is the one who determines for whom that type of atonement applies, if God is able to restrict his atonement from an entire family line, as we see in God's words to Samuel, then how do we know if God intends that type of atonement for us? That is an important question to answer. Listen as I read from Paul's words in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 23. Paul tells the believers in Rome, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." This verse has much more to say than we have time for this morning, but here's what we should walk away with. God, the God who determines for whom his atonement is effective, put forward an effective atonement in his perfect son, Jesus. Jesus was a propitiation. That means he was a wrath-bearing substitute who stood in the place enduring God's eternal wrath for sinners. Jesus was that. He was the effective atonement that we need to change our disposition before God and God's disposition before toward us. Jesus became that. It was in his suffering that he endured God's wrath on the behalf of sinners. And how would you know that the suffering that Jesus endured over almost 2,000 years ago was for you? God intended that sacrifice to be received by faith. You know if Jesus has atoned for your sins because you believe. If you believe that Jesus has indeed stood in your place, then that is evidence that God has offered him up on your behalf. And that is good news for us who believe this morning. That is good news. Since faith is the way that God intended what Jesus accomplished to be received, then if you have faith in that work of Christ on your behalf, you can trust that your sins have been atoned for. I want to speak for a moment to those of us who might be here who have yet to believe that. Jesus was already offered up for sin by God. And if you do not have faith, the life-altering faith that is spoken about here by the Apostle Paul in Romans, then the only confidence that you can have today is of God's eternal judgment and anger against you because of your sin. That is not good news. And so this morning we would plead with you to believe in Jesus. He is the only way that you can be made right before a holy God. Your works are not good enough. No one else's faith is good enough to get you in. Believe in Jesus. That is the call of the gospel. Jesus is alive and he intercedes for anyone who would believe in him before the Father. This time is for believers, and so as the bread and juice are passed, we would just ask that you not partake, but do take this time to think about your standing before God. You are not right with God if you are counting on anything other than Jesus' work on the cross to get you into heaven, to make you right before God. And so instead of taking the bread and juice as it comes by, just take this time to reflect on your disposition and God's anger towards you right now. And repent. You can repent right now. Those of us who do believe, and by God's grace have been given faith, have been given a believing heart, then this is a time for you, regardless of the type of week that you've had, whether it's been a week filled with rebellion against God, the God who saved you, or you've, at least in your own opinion, lived a pretty holy week. This is a time for you to consider your sins and be thankful that Jesus has atoned for you, that every sin, whether in thought, word, or deed, has been completely covered, and you are justified before God because of Jesus' work on the cross. Take this time to rejoice and reflect, but don't let the communion pass you by. Repent of your sin and take communion with us. The men are going to come serve us now, and when you're ready on your own, take communion.